Abraham Lincoln has been quoted as stating, "America will never be destroyed from the outside. If we lose our freedoms, it will be because we have destroyed ourselves from within." That is actually paraphrasing. I did some research and found out that that's not exactly what he said. This quote, I believe, comes from an address he made before the Young Men's Lyceum of Springfield, Illinois, on January 27th, 1838. And I quote, "At what point shall we expect the approach of danger? By what means shall we fortify against it? Shall we expect some transatlantic military giant to step the ocean and crush us at a blow? Never. All the armies of Europe, Asia, and Africa combined, with all the treasures of the earth, our own excepted, in their military chests, with a Bonaparte for commander, could not by force take a drink from the Ohio or make a track on the Blue Ridge in a trial of 1,000 years. At what point, then, is the approach of danger to be expected? I answer, if it ever reach us, it must spring up among us. It cannot come from abroad. If destruction be our lot, we must ourselves be its author and finisher. As a nation of free men, we must live through all time or die by suicide." Welcome to my podcast, Heart on Fire. This is Tony Easton. I'm pretty sure by now everyone in the world has heard of the insurrection at the Capitol last week, brought on by domestic terrorists, ignited by Donald Trump and the Republicans. So details are all over the internet. They're all over the news and the print, everything. You can get the details on what particular points you want to research, or get the whole picture. But I'm still sitting here trying to process it almost a week later, and I'm just, it's stunning. I mean, I never thought I would see anything like this in my lifetime. And basically, it all really sounds like a movie, you know. But see, we all expected this. We all knew it was coming. But we probably didn't know how exactly it would turn out. But for decades, it's been building and festering. And I think it was more of a slow burn. So hear me out here. Okay. In the past, political opponents and, you know, their voters always had, you know, opinions of each other. You know, I'm not sure if it's personal. What little I read of it, it was more political, you know, their political beliefs, their political stance, so on and so forth. And there would be some name calling. You know, that's just normal. That's really normal. There were no lies. There was suspicions, but really no outright lies and misleading and misinformation. Now, we're going to go back to Ronald Reagan's term, when Rupert Murdoch came to the United States and within a year became a U.S. citizen, when the guidelines to becoming a U.S. citizen states that you must live here 3 to 5 years. But Rupert Murdoch got right in within a year. And from that, Ronald Reagan demolished the Fairness Doctrine. And if you don't know what that means, the Fairness Doctrine was a doctrine that stated that all news outlets reporting to the public must remain will remain honest with the facts. So, yes. So after they struck down the Fairness Doctrine, notice that that was when the birth of right-wing media came along. Rush Limbaugh, Fox News. You all know I'm fascinated with stuff. Rush Limbaugh, Fox News, came on, became established, and became the voice of the right-wing America, now more like alt-right these days. Then while this is going on, Fox News and Rush Limbaugh are just poisoning Americans' minds, Newt Gingrich preschool self into politics and introduces political tribalism. They're the enemy. They're trying to destroy America. And pit where our Congress used to be able to work together or try to work together, now they are divided. Since the 90s, of course. Now, through the years, through all of this, the Republican base are slowly and deliberately being dumbed down or gaslighted. And they're passing that tradition on to their kids. Remember, hate hate is taught. We all know that. So they're still conditioning their kids to hate, basically, which I've said before on previous podcasts. They're teaching their kids to not believe in facts, to believe in a belief system, an echo chamber, that the other side, the Democrats, the liberals, you know, the people of color, are wrong and are lying to you. And it's, you know, it's fascinating to me that during the insurrection with the domestic terrorists, people were saying, we're sick of being lied to, we're sick of being lied to, without knowing they're actually being lied to by the people they trust. Oh, Fox News and Rush Limbaugh and OAN and News, they're throwing all of those lies out. And then these, I don't know what to call them, are coming out saying, we're tired of being lied to. It doesn't matter if you tell them to look towards the, you know, where the lies are coming from and to look up basic facts. They, you know, we'll get into that later. So yeah, their kids are being raised in this sort of environment and it's really destroying America while they point the finger at liberals and Democrats. So be it. And in the time being, Republicans are become like unabashedly brazen in their games, in their tricks. Take, for instance, Mitch McConnell and the nomination of Merrick Garland as Supreme Court Justice. And then the nomination of Amy Cohen, I can't remember her name right now. I don't have, you know, all of my research notes. I actually left them in the other room. But her being nominated in an election year within months of an election. Okay? And I'm pretty sure that, you know, these politicians had thoughts in the, had the thought in their head, oh, hey, our base is already brainwashed, you know, so let's just keep going. And then if the liberals say this, you know, we can just be as upfront and as diabolical as we can because they'll still vote for us. So, you know, let's go. So if you notice in the past few elections since, I say, George H.W. Bush had been elected president, throughout the elections after that, there has been only one election in which the president won the popular vote and electoral college. The other Republican presidents have been elected based on the electoral college alone, not the popular vote. So I'm pretty sure the Republicans think, oh, we have an advantage there because if you try to get rid of the electoral college now, oh, you have a holy hell of a fight on your hands. Add that to politicians trying to suppress the vote, specifically the black vote, and you have what is, you know, I can't even think of the word, but what you have there is a combination of the base being slowly shoved into a bubble, an alternate reality. Then along comes Trump and social media. Do I have to go on with the Trump and the social media thing? Because I think you're all smart enough to understand what that's going with that. So that slow burn, it just spread and it got hotter and it just boiled and it built into a big fiery ball until it got it out of control. Until it imploded. This is America. A nation run by white people who are desperate to hold on to their privilege and power in a country supposedly found on the promise of freedom. the right of freedom. But of course, the Republican Party is no longer a political party. It's not authoritarian party now. Maybe it's always been that way. Maybe it's always been that way because they've always had the privilege. They've mostly always had the power. And now slipping away from them. So maybe once the Southern strategy was played out during the Reagan administration, I have to add, the Republican Party had started to develop into its current state of autocracy. Now, right now, this makes me think back to my childhood and learning about the civil rights movement as a child and knowing how recently it had occurred, that it was still going on in a way, you know, when I was 6, 7 years old in the very, very early 70s. But I think about the images we were shown and the films we were shown about both the peaceful protests and the violent protests. You know, those violent protests where the cops were beating the protesters with sticks or turning a fire hose on them. Some of these Trump sycophants want to compare the domestic terrorism that occurred last week to the civil rights movement. Now, you can't get any dumber than that. Well, I don't know. Maybe you can. Some of these people, even though I know how they operate and think and work, it still surprises me. But you see where I'm getting at, right? These so-called patriots' minds are so far gone, so rotted, that they compare their seditious attempt to overthrow the government violently to a call of civil rights in a country that we, Black Americans, were born in. We still have to fight for our civil rights. Now, some Republicans are scrambling about with their heads cut off. They don't know where to go, what direction to even state their position. You have some Republicans that are calling out, you know, that seditious act. They're calling out the Republican Party. They're calling out Trump and Ted Cruz and Jim Jordan and Josh Hawley. And then you have those that decide to stand with the seditionist still. And they're calling themselves politicians in the American Congress. You know, I'm pretty sure a comedy writer could not come up with a better scenario for a plethora of jokes on that. But they're showing their true colors. So know that. There's no turning back. There's none. Everything they have said, everything they have written is on record. Now I'm thinking that maybe they can use social media to keep the gaslighting going. It could be, yes. I mean, unless Apple, Google, Amazon, etc. continue their recent effort, you know, with their terms and conditions to keep lies and misinformation off of their platforms and continue to monitor such behavior. But they'll find a way to communicate, I'm sure. You know, they will find some kind of way. And I'm still trying to wrap my head around this. But it kills me that these motherfuckers about Donald Trump being shut off from Twitter and Facebook and so forth. These motherfuckers are calling out about our First Amendment rights without knowing their First Amendment rights. Amazon, Apple, Google, etc. are privately owned companies with terms and conditions that people sign, agree to join the platform. So these companies have every right to cut off Trump, hate mongering, misinformation that will cause such treasonous acts as attacking our capital because they did not like the results of an election. Have you ever tried talking to some of these people? I mean, the base, not the politicians. It is. Okay. Some people find, I've talked to, they say, oh, it's just a waste of my time because you can't reason with these people. You can't talk to them. You can't present facts to them without them blowing up. And, you know, it's weird. You see, okay, I'll be honest about this. I used to fuck with them. Not trolling exactly, but I would see a comment on Facebook or YouTube and try to get them to say the most outrageous stuff I've ever heard. And, you know, actually, it's kind of like a drug, but it's fun. But like I said, I don't troll them. But talking to these people, I mean, you can't get through. Why waste your time? One or two things will happen. Either you will get exhausted or you provide so much logical sense and facts to them that they run off and they go troll someone else's account. And that's basically what they're doing. They're trolling. So, but it's like I said, it's gotten to be sort of like I'm becoming addicted to it. I mean, there's times when I wake up, you know, I'm in lockdown and I will go on social media and I will see some of these comments and I'm just off to the races. And I will look up and probably about 4 hours had passed. But like I said, I can't help it. I just like, here's the information, you know, here's the logic. And see how they kind of twist that into their own ideology. I mean, it is a lot of fun, but I don't want to make fun of someone else's intelligence or lack thereof. But I do want to inform them of facts and logic. But you can't. Their brain is too rotted. You cannot get through to them. They're the sheep that they have been trained to be, you know. Even like I've known some Trump supporters, who very nice people, very nice people. And they support Trump, of course. But see, they ignore the racism. They ignore the 300 bills that are sitting on Mitch McConnell's desk. They ignore all the bad stuff. But then they throw at you what they perceive as the good stuff that Trump does. And like the evangelicals, which I'm not going to go into right now because I'm too passionate about that. That's my next episode. Don't miss it. It will be called Mind Your Own Business. Okay, let's move on. Now, these politicians such as Josh Hawley and Ted Cruz need to be held accountable. Now, if you go on Ted Cruz's Facebook, he's talking, oh, I'm sorry about this. And I didn't do it. Yes, you did, motherfucker. You and Josh Hawley. And then after the insurrection, you continued with this bullshit. You continued with this bullshit. You, Josh Hawley, all the Republican politicians that stood behind you and that false sense of election fraud, you need to be held accountable. I'm calling 14th Amendment. I am calling the fucking 14th Amendment. And not only that, I'm so passionate about this right now, and I'm going to spend the next 2 to 4 years making sure you motherfuckers never, ever get into office again. I'm going to call on every friend I have. I'm going to call on every politician, specifically Stacey Abrams. Because see what she did in Georgia? Because you guys know you incited that violence. You incited that mentality. And then you're trying to make yourself feel comfortable by saying, oh, no, I don't incite violence. That shouldn't have been done. I wasn't behind this. We have it on record, you stupid jerks. Ugh. See how angry I am. But you know what? It's not over. This is just the beginning. They can't go back on the ground now because it's all out in the open. And they're going to fight violently, I assure you. I mean, just yesterday, FBI released a report that the state capitals of the 50 states are they're planning to attack or cause some kind of commotion. That insurrection last week was just the appetizer of what these blind motherfuckers want to do to our country. And reality is dead to them. And for the politicians, they're trying to hold on to dear life. And part two of my plan is to make sure that history would not be kind to them at all. I mean, it'll be easy. Like I said, we have print, we have video, we have audio. I remember when I heard that Harriet Tubman was going to be placed on the $20 bill. And the guidelines are, you know, when it would come out. And then Trump was elected. Steve Mnuchin became Treasury's whatever. And they pushed back the Harriet Tubman $20 bill. Now, I remember telling a coworker of mine one night, I would like to live to see that $20 bill, to hold one in my hand, to use it in a sales exchange. And as much as I still want to see that, to experience it, the passion in my heart right now is I want to see how this plays out, how Republicans come out in trying to turn America into a dictatorship. Into an I can say the word when I'm not on mic, but you know, but you get what I'm saying. Yeah, I want to see how this turns out in the next 10 to 15 years, hopefully 20, if I reach the age of 77. So here's a message to you white people. Come on, white people. You're losing, just like you did in the Civil War and World War II. America is progressing, and your privilege is fading, and everything in the past is catching up to you. Might not seem like it now, but it will. So come on, don't be scared. Like Kimberly Jones said in that video, "How Can We Win?" You're lucky that we want equality and not revenge. This is Tony Easton. Thank you for joining me.